Good morning, church. Today we will have two scripture readings. The first reading is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 14 to 16. Romans 10, 14 to 16. Reading from verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? The second reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 to 9. Luke 10, 1 to 9. Reading from verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Claire. Let's put our hands together for her. Thank you so much. Very good morning, church. This morning we are gathered for our evangelism emphasis weekend. And we have our children with us, and I hope you have fun filling in your worksheets. There will be a present for you if you fill in all your worksheet. You know, the word evangelism is a very funny thing, because if you say the word evangelism, both Christians and non-Christians will run away from you. Non-Christians will think that you are trying to hammer them, harass them, and somehow convert them or condemn them. They run away. Christians will also run away from you because they think that the pastor is going to give them quota to fulfill and pressure them to convert more people, right? But that is because we have often misunderstood what the word evangelism means. It's nothing to do with quotas. It's nothing to do with arguing with people or condemning people. In fact, the word evangelism doesn't even exist in the Bible, but it comes from the word evangel, which means good news. So it's about good news. The word in Greek is euangelion. You see that throughout the pages of the Bible, that there is good news and good news. How many of you like good news? I like good news, huh? All right. It's not only when you strike lottery, then it's good news. There are more important good news than striking lottery. And the most important good news is about our relationship with God. And this is what the gospel is all about. 所谓的福音是有关我们与上帝的关系。 上帝与我们的关系就是好消息。 This is for those who are Mandarin speaking. 我们所讲的福音就是好消息。 就是上帝与我们的关系是一份好消息. So let's read together John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, because it tells us what this good news is all about. Shall we read it? Ready? 1, 2, 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That is the good news. God is not coming to condemn us, but God is coming to save us. And God is doing so because he loves us. 这份好消息就是上帝不是要来定我们的罪，不是要来惩罚我们，是要来拯救我们。他爱我们，他差遣他的独生子耶稣基督来做我们的赎罪祭，以便我们能够通过他得到 救赎得到自由。所以这就是我们的好消息。This is our good news. But very often we turn the good news into bad news. So today let's focus on the good news. So what is this good news? Okay. How does it look like? So the gospel is a very relational thing. It's about relationships. First, it begins by God telling us that He loves us just because we belong to Him. We don't have to pay money. We don't have to pass a test. We don't have to be even particularly good people. God loves us just because He created us. But the problem is we rejected God. We wanted to go our own way. But just because our relationship with God was broken and we sinned against God, God didn't give up on us. Even though there's a big gap between us and God, God didn't just say, let's wipe out these people and start all over again. But God sent His Son, Jesus, to pay our penalty on the cross so that the price is paid for us to return to God who loves us again. And that is what reconciliation means. It means that you and I, even though we have drifted far away from God, there is a way for us to find our way back into the love of God simply by putting our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the good news. It's not about arguing about philosophical things. It's not about saying who is right and who is wrong. It's not trying to pretend that the church is a better club than other clubs, you know. We are not a club in the first place. We are a gathering of people who have been saved, who have been loved by God. So it is relational. It's about reconciliation. So I want to help us to reframe or to see evangelism in a different way. Not in terms of arguments, not in terms of good and bad, right and wrong, and who is better, but in terms of relationships. First of all, it is about relationship between us and God. Evangelism begins with us receiving God's blessing, receiving God's love. Because if we have not experienced what it means to be blessed by God, loved by God, there is no good news to talk about. So first of all, is to remember that we are blessed by the good news. Can we say that together? Blessed by the good news. Secondly, once you are blessed, then we live in the good news. Then God has sent us to be the good news. The good news is not something that, it's not just a message that you pass on. But we, the messenger, we are the message. The way we live, the way we get along with people, we are the good news. So the second aspect is, together, we are to be the good news. And then the third aspect, of course, there need to be some explanation and understanding, and that is to bring the good news. So let me help you to unpack each of these three aspects. What does it mean to be blessed by the good news? This is a picture of an Asian man. And I think that's good because, you know, the gospel has been in Asia for hundreds and hundreds of years. And this man, his name is D.T. Niles, or Daniel Niles, and he's a Sri Lankan. Do we have any Sri Lankans here? Anybody from Sri Lanka? Yeah, in the first service, we had some people from Sri Lanka. Beautiful country, all right? And the gospel has been in Sri Lanka for many years. And he is a person who shares the good news. And this is how he described what evangelism is. He says, evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. What a wonderful expression that is. One beggar who has no food to eat, who is hungry, but one day he chanced upon a bakery that's giving away free bread. Like that bread. Wow, I love this picture. I look at that bread, I can smell it already. You know, but I am not allowing myself to eat too much bread because I put on too much weight. So I can just smell it. Cannot eat, I just smell. But this man is so hungry and free bread was available. He ate it and his hunger was satisfied. And he was so happy. But he remembered that he has other friends who are also beggars. How can he keep this to himself? He has to tell the other beggars, hey, there's a free bakery. 这里有免费的食物, 我们都可以一起来吃, 好不好? That is evangelism. 宣教就是 把这个好消息, 这里有食物的这个好消息, 传给别人, 不是要指责别人, 不是要批评别人, 是要把好的东西分享给他们。 So that is what evangelism is. Begins with us being blessed by the good news. Singaporean version of this is, you know where is the best bak kut teh? I bring you to eat the bak kut teh. That's the Singaporean version. All right. So that's where we begin. Are we ourselves feeling blessed? How many of you feel blessed by the good news? Praise be to God. Hallelujah. God is the one that has blessed us. So I want to help us to just recap a little bit how the good news has in fact blessed us. So here's what it says in Psalm 103. Okay, let me get this thing to cooperate with me. Psalm 103. Psalm 103 encourages us to have an attitude of gratitude. And that's what worship is all about. Every Sunday we gather together for what? Just to listen to good music and be entertained by Ming Li and her team? No. We gather together to remind ourselves, what is this great news, this good news that we have been blessed by? And that's why this psalm says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Well, just in case we forget, shall we rehearse through Psalm 103 together? What are some of the ways in which we are blessed by the good news? Together, let's say from verse 3 onwards, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This is what you and I, who are beggars, empty, hungry, without God, have tasted the goodness of God. And we feel so blessed that we have to share with others. But not only to receive all these blessings of healing and so on and so forth, but to remember that we are now living in a different kind of life. We are living under new management. We are living no longer in bondage, but we are living in freedom. Because that's what Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 tells us. For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. That is the blessing of the good news. We're no longer under the bondage to the evil one, listening to his lies that money is the greatest thing of all. We're no longer living in bondage that we are a nobody, that we are good for nothing. Nobody will love me. Nobody will accept me. Because in the good news, we are transferred from that dark kingdom, that cold kingdom, that deadly kingdom, and transferred into a lively kingdom, a loving kingdom, where even though I am who I am loved. You know, I experienced this many years ago when I was about 14 years old, because at that point in time, I felt very badly about myself. Came from a poor family, don't look very good, a little bit overweight, you know, and then very short, you know. And I was convinced by the lies of the evil one that I would never find a life partner. Because all the beautiful girls, they would like to go for boys that are taller, like Eugene over here, who are stronger, who are more handsome, you know. And who I am, you know, I'm so weak, I'm so small, you know, nobody will ever love me. But the Lord has transferred me into His kingdom, where love or not love, it doesn't depend on how tall you are. We are accepted. We are loved just for who we are. That is good news. And God proved it to be true. Because one day, I did find myself a girlfriend. And by God's grace, she's exactly same height as me. But that is only true after she washed her hair. Once her hair dries, she's taller than me. But by that time, it doesn't matter anymore. Because tall or short, I know that I am loved. That is what it means to be under the good news, under new management, to be freed from all these wrong ideas, to live with a freedom in Christ. Praise be to God. But not only that, it doesn't mean that our life now becomes hunky-dory. We still go through all the same challenges that everyone does. You know, we do fall sick. If there's COVID, sometimes we catch it. You know, some economic downturn. You know, there are all kinds of different challenges. So we are no different from other people. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are like jars of clay. You know, some of you have earthen pots at home. Some of you have pots for flowering plants. You know, these pots are very fragile. And sometimes they crack, right? So, you know, that's who we are. We are jars of clay. We are pots made of clay. And we sometimes crack, so we are called crack pots, right? So that's who we are. We are all crack pots, right? 我们都是很脆弱的人。我们都是没有力量的, 我们大家都是一样，基督徒、非基督徒都是一样。 But there's a difference. What's the difference? The difference is that if you have heard the good news, we have a treasure. 我们有一份宝藏，很珍贵的宝藏，藏在我们这个瓦器，有裂痕的瓦器的当中的里面。 We have this treasure, the gospel, hidden inside us. Though we are fragile, though we are crackpots, we have something in us that is strong, that is glorious, that is beautiful. And this glorious gospel, who is Jesus Christ, shines through our cracks. So without Jesus, you see a pot that is cracked. With Jesus inside, you see light coming out of the cracks. And the pot becomes beautiful, not because of itself, but because of that light that shines through. And that is the blessing of the gospel, that we are ordinary like anyone else, but because of Jesus in us, we become beautiful because of Him. And even when we go through challenges, and that's what the Bible says, that we may be afflicted in many ways, we may have many challenges, but we are not crushed. I love this idea, which it first came to me many years ago, when I saw in the supermarkets, there are packets of potato chips. You know potato chips, right? They are very fragile, very brittle, right? But why is it you buy that packet of potato chips, you open up, and every single potato chip is very beautiful, very complete, very whole, right? And you know the answer. Because the packaging is very puffy. And later on I learned, right, that when they package the potato chips, after they put in the chips, before they seal it, they actually pump it, you know, so that it's full of gas. Nitrogen, not bad gas, a good gas, neutral gas. So the gas that's inside the packet, right? Give it that firmness. And that firmness gives it shape. And that shape is able to protect the chips from the crushing, from the pressure of packaging, of handling. And that's the picture, right? Without that thing that's inside us, we'll be easily crushed. But with Jesus in us, with that treasure, it protects us. We are afflicted, but we are not crushed. We may be perplexed. We don't understand why is this happening? What's going on? What am I supposed to do? But we are not driven to despair. We don't give up on life just because life gets complicated. And yeah, life sometimes can get complicated. Career, friendships, you know, colleagues, even sometimes marriage, parenting, family. Sometimes it gets complicated. And we don't understand. But because we have that Christ in us, Perlin was saying, the wisdom, you were drawn to the wisdom. With that wisdom, even though we can't see clearly all the way, but we see some light, we don't give up. By the little light that we have, we can keep on walking. And as you walk, you get more and more light. And the more light you have, the further you can walk. So we do not fall into despair. And we may even be persecuted, and we may even have hardships, but we are not forsaken. We may be struck down, even with a diagnosis of cancer, or we may even have our child that diagnosed with autism, and we say, oh no, that's the end of the world. No, it's not. We may be struck down. We may face a career setback. We may make a mistake and we have to pay some consequences, but we are not destroyed. It's not the end yet. There is still a future and a hope. And that is what it means to be blessed by the good news. We are still a crackpot. But with this good news of Jesus Christ inside us, life can still be good. And it is because we are so blessed by this good news that we want to share it. Because next to you, in the office, in your neighbor, among your brothers and sisters, among your friends, there's bound to be someone that's also going through difficult cases like this. In fact, I want to share with you the latest development in SJSM. For some months already, we have been having a chat group, a WhatsApp chat group for people that are going through a cancer journey. So that when you go through the cancer journey, you don't have to be alone. And you don't have to be a Christian to be on this chat group. As long as you agree that, you know, we respect each other's privacy and all that. And the good news I want to share with you is that in this past week, this chat group has now become a once a month in-person gathering. And not only ladies, but men are welcome as well. Praise be to God. Nobody is forced, but if you want to have some companionship as you go through this cancer journey together, we are there for you. This is the good news. We want to share it. And that is what it means. Once you are blessed by the good news, we want to be the good news. Because what we are going through, there are other people going through also. And as we journey together, we become the good news to each other. And that is how God brings us His message of reconciliation. Long ago, Hebrews chapter 1 tells us, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, messengers who bring us the good news. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. God takes us very personally. He comes to us. Son is not just another representative. Son is the only one who can really represent the Father fully. And that's what happens even in the New Testament when Christ was born. It says in John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. If you think about it, that's the most amazing statement. The Word is God. It's the force that holds the whole universe together. How powerful is that force? And yet that force managed to reduce itself into a tiny little cell in the womb of the Virgin Mary that grew over 9 months to become a baby. So weak and so vulnerable. But that vulnerable baby is God Himself. God make Himself weak so that He can be among weak people like you and me. He make Himself small because we are small so that He can experience what it means to be small. So the gospel is not just a message or an idea or a theory. The gospel is a person. That person is Jesus Christ. And He came among us and He lived with us. We have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel. It's about life. It's about relationship. 福音不是一份消息而已, 是一个人, 是一个关系。 主耶稣愿意 从天上来到我们地上, 与我们同在, 与我们一起生活, 分担我们的愁烦, 我们的苦难, 祂愿意与我们在一起。 This is the essence, 这就是福音。 福音就是上帝愿意分担我们的生命。 And that is how we can be the good news. Because if we have experienced Jesus living in us, then the way we live with other people, then we can become the good news as well. Because we are among them. They are weak, we are weak. But we know Jesus. And Jesus enters into their weakness. So I want to share with you 8 ways about how we can be the good news. Even without preaching a single message, we can bring the good news into the life of people. First of all, is to be prayerful. This is the story of Jesus calling 72 of His disciples, pairing them off 2 by 2, sending them into all the different villages that He's about to visit. And the first thing that He said to the 72 disciples is, before you even do anything, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. How are they going to have more laborers? It's the people who hear the message, who believe in the message, that will join them and then increase the number of laborers. In other words, when we go out, we are not depending on our own eloquence or on our own persuasiveness to convert people. Conversion is not your work, it's not my work. Conversion is God's work. Only God can convert. That's why I pray to the Lord of the harvest that He will do the converting, that people who are converted then will join us. So it is all God's work. All we are called to do is to go and be among them. But first of all, we go prayerfully. Why? Because if you don't go prayerfully, you're going by your own strength. When I was in the Air Force, I served in the Air Force for 8 years. I had a period of time when I was working in one of the air bases as the officer in charge of quality control. Not many people like my office because my office job is to check that their quality okay or not. And sometimes not okay, then we correct them. So, I have another friend who's also an OC, an officer in command, and who's a Christian. So we would pray together in my office. And we always pray for each other that in the way that we do our work as Air Force officers and engineers, that people will see Jesus in us. They will not see a kind of abusive use of authority. They will not see us putting the mission or the work above the welfare of our men. They will not see us taking them for granted or using our authority abusively or disrespectfully. So we prayed for each other. And that's how we have to begin. If you want to be the good news, the first thing to do is be prayerful. And then the second thing to do is to be present with non-believers. It's very important for us to spend time with friends and family members who are not yet believers. One of the problems that happens with churches and with Christians, and it's also an occupational hazard for pastors, is that after we've been a Christian a long time, all right, either all our whole family have become Christians, which is a wonderful thing. Praise God for Pearlie's family. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful for your whole family to be in Christ. But there's still the rest of the world. There's still the rest of our friends. But the temptation is that we get so busy with church activities, we have no time to spend time with others. Then the gospel is contained in us, but it doesn't go out. You know, I'm sure in your house, in your kitchen, there's salt, right? You have salt. Salt is in a salt shaker, right? But when the salt is in the salt shaker, is there any use? It's useless, right? The salt is only useful if you take the salt shaker and shake it into the food. Right? Only when the salt goes out of the salt shaker, then the salt can bring flavor. So that is important for us. If you want to be the gospel, think about your neighbors. Do you spend time with them? I have some non-Christian neighbors, and I do try in my very limited way. There's a Taoist, there's a Buddhist, there's a Muslim neighbor, to be friends on at least on our floor and with the floor above and below. We try to greet each other. And among your colleagues, you know, do you have lunch with your non-Christian friends? Your sports khakis, is it called what? Pickleball, is it? Yeah. I thought pickle is what you eat, right? I don't know. Pickleball, okay. If you play pickleball with your pickleball khakis, you know, do you hang out with them? So it is when you spend time with non-Christians, when you share life together, that you can be present with them. And that's what the word go means. Go doesn't mean just get to the destination. Go means along the way. Because in those days, going is a very slow process. It's just walking. So as you walk with people, you spend time, you get to know, you make friends. So going is not just getting to the end point as fast as possible, but to share life together with people who do not know the Lord. And then as you go, do not go afraid and frightened. Go with the confidence. Even though sometimes you may feel like you're a lamb among wolves, right? And you feel that you're unprepared, right? But the Lord is with you. So I just want to share with you one story. This sermon, I think it's important to share some stories. Okay? So some years ago, my wife and I, we were in this cycling group. And one time, the cycling group organized a trip to Pengerang in Johor. So we took a ferry, we cycled to this town to have lunch and come back. Then along the way, we noticed that the rain clouds were gathering and were in fact chasing us from behind. And when we stopped for a break, I told the organizer of the group, you know, I think the rain is coming, you know, and there's still another 5 km before our lunch point at the village. I said, I'm a Christian. How about we pray before we cycle again? And then, oh, because I think majority of them are non-believers. It says, rain coming already, still on the prayer. Quickly cycle lah. But anyway, after a while, I said, okay, pray lah. Better pray lah. So I prayed. Even as I was praying, people were grumbling, you know, that the rain is coming and still want to stop and pray. But I just push on. And after that, we started cycling. And it was the Lord that gave me the confidence to pray that He will watch over us. And we cycle as fast as we could. And the threat of the rain clouds was still behind us. But we managed to reach the coffee shop, park our bicycles, sit down at the table. The minute we sat down, boom, the rains all came down. And the next group that came were all drenched. The confidence is not in myself or in how fast I can cycle. The confidence is God hears prayers. God hears our prayers. 上帝是垂听我们祷告的上帝。虽然我们对于自己没有自信，不过我们的信心是在上帝，不是在于我们。当我们祈求他的时候，他垂听我们的祷告，他会应允我们的祷告。所以我们能够抵达我们要吃饭的地方，然后这个雨才来，我们就没有被淋到落，好像落汤鸡这样。这也是感谢上帝，也是一个见证。So we thank God that our confidence in Him was vindicated because God hears our prayers. And we can afford to be confident, we can afford to be positive, we can afford to be friendly. We can go around telling people, hi, good to see you. That's why we do greetings, right, just now? Caleb, huh? Yeah. You know what he's doing, right? He's training you to in evangelism. to be friendly, to be positive, to be optimistic, right? To wish good things upon people, right? Don't always come and then, you know, wow, pull a long face. But be positive, be friendly. That is also part of being the good news. And also to be focused. Sometimes we are very obsessed about meeting quotas. Don't worry about quotas. Spend time with people. So Jesus says, when you enter into a house and they welcome you, remain in the house. Don't go from house to house. In other words, go deep. Don't try to be wide. Spend time with people. Form relationships. Go deep. And as you are focused, then you will reach this very important point where you are able to share life with others. Be humble with what people offer you. People may not be able to invite you for lunch at Tung Lok, or people may invite you for just ice kacang at the hawker center. It's not about the ice kacang or the Tung Lok restaurant food, but it is about the time you spend together. Have the humility to interact with different kinds of people and be willing to give, be willing to receive. Eat what is set before you. And that is where connections take place and where people can begin to see the gospel. Before you even speak the gospel, people can see the gospel. And then you reach this very magical point. It's when you reach point number 7 that the magic begins. Because by the time you get from 1 to 6, you spend time with people and you show what kind of people, what kind of person you are. People feel safe with you. They know that you're not trying to sell them something. They know that you're not trying to argue with them and put them down. They know that you genuinely care. And they know that you are a humble person, a reliable, trustworthy person. And that's why when they come to a point where they have a need, that they will be willing to share with you rather than share with another person that they are not sure will respect them or will laugh at them or will ignore them, you know. But they know that you are the kind of person that is caring, and you reach point 7 where they will share their needs. And that's where being the gospel means that you are there to share their pain, to share their confusion, to share their anxiety. And that sharing of pain is being responsive to the gospel. Jesus, when he came to the place, the village where his good friend Lazarus has died, and he saw all the people who were weeping and crying. You know, the shortest verse in the whole Bible, just 2 words, Jesus wept. Jesus was responsive to their emotions. So that is being the gospel. And then from there, then by, as the Lord leads you, then you can take a step of faith to be confident that God is there. And you can say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. That you can even say, I understand. And God also is here with you. God understands. Can I pray for you? Can I lift your situation up to God and see how God can bless you? 我们不只是讲福音，人家有时候说我们讲耶稣，讲耶稣，不需要太多讲耶稣，最重要就是活出耶稣的生命。当我们关怀别人的时候，当我们聆听他们的困难，当我们怜悯他们，分担他们的愁烦，耶稣就已经在他们当中。我们为他们祷告，祝福他们。 就是我们活出耶稣的同在。So, the first is to be blessed by the good news, and second is to be the good news for people around us by the way we live with them. And then with that, then we can come to the third part, which is be the good news. Bring the good news. Yes, it's important to bring, because just by showing, people may feel the presence of Jesus, but they don't understand who Jesus is. They don't understand why he has come. They don't understand how they can connect with Jesus. So we need to bring, we need to share. That's why Romans chapter 10, which Claire read for us just now, is so important. How are they to hear without someone preaching? If they don't hear, how do they know that Jesus is calling them? And if they don't know Jesus is calling them, how can they respond? So we are there so that at the right time, we share or we invite them to come and hear about Jesus, right? So Peter also tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness, do it with respect, keeping a clear conscience. So after we have lived and demonstrated the gospel, showed the love of God, then there comes a time where we can share with people or explain to them how they too can experience that same kind of love. So how do we bring the good news? Again, I want to make it very practical for you. Okay, 8 ways by which you can bring the good news. The first way, okay, is to share how God is currently working in your life. God is working in our lives every day, sometimes multiple times a day. We experience God, we are guided by God, or God opened door for us. You know, one of the best ways that God works, God works in my life, sometimes I come back to my flat. I live in Bedok North, quite far away. And sometimes I get back, if it's after 9 o'clock, it's very difficult to find car park lot in the open car park. Then I have to go to the multi-story and I'm very tired already. I say, God, please give me one lot. And quite often, God hears my prayer. 上帝垂听我的祷告,我需要一个停车位。当我回来的时候,虽然很晚,有时候他还会听我的祷告,送给我一个停车位。 So I tell people, hey, you know, that happens, you know, it's a real thing. So it makes God real to others when you share that God actually hears prayers and actually works, right? Share how God is currently working. Second, share how you face your own life challenges. Is there anyone here who has no life challenges? Nobody, right? We all have. 我们每个人的生活都有我们自己的挑战。不过当我们有挑战的时候,我们祷告, 上帝怎么样的来帮助我们? 怎么样的给我们力量和智慧? 让我们有勇气去面对我们的挑战? The way that God gives us wisdom to face our challenges, that is something you can share. And nobody can criticize you, right? Because it's your life, what? It's your faith, what? You're not trying to say that they are wrong or that you are better than them. You're just saying that you go through life with a friend. His name is Jesus. And how does that work for you? You can share how God helps you in your life challenges. And then you can share also, wow, this one is sometimes very responsive, sometimes not. And you can also share your faith by praying for their needs, as I mentioned just now. You know, you have challenges, they have challenges. But sometimes they want to call upon God, but they don't know how. And they feel that their faith is not strong enough. But they say, never mind. Just a little bit of faith is enough. I share my faith with you. And you pray for people. 我们可以为我们的朋友祷告，我们的家人祷告。 虽然他们还没有信耶稣， 耶稣也会听他们的祷告的。 所以我们可以为他们祷告。 We can pray for them. And when we pray for them, then we are not putting God to the test. We are tasting. We're inviting them to taste and see that God is good. So for my cycling friends, they tasted and saw that God hears our prayers, because we got to our lunch point wet with our sweat, but not wet from the rain, because we prayed, right? So this is how we can share. And we can also share about how our life has changed over time, that we are different from the man that we were before. I shared with you just now, I used to lack confidence, but now I'm able to stand here and I'm able to talk to all of you. Yeah? And that is not something that is from me. That is actually from the Lord. And we can share that because it's a transformation that took place. And we can also share how we turn to Christ, how we used to resist Him, as some of our friends have shared on the video. As we share, they will see themselves, oh, like that also can. Like that also God let you become His. Okay, then maybe I can also. So this is about sharing our story. And then most importantly, number 6 is most important. Share how they can find out more, how they can experience God through Alpha. And I want to say this with great emphasis. You know, I believe that Alpha is one of the best ways that we can introduce people to Jesus. Because Alpha is relational. Alpha is simple. Alpha got good food. Okay? And that's what relationship is all about. Okay? Let me tell you something. You know, SGSM used to be one of the churches that ran the biggest Alpha courses. But over time, we maybe have slackened a little bit. But I believe that God wants SGSM to be once again one of the strongest churches in Alpha again. Amen? Wow, a bit soft, right? That sounds better, okay? I believe, will you share this belief with me, that God wants to use Alpha mightily in SGSM? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So can I encourage you, if your cell group hasn't decided whether to run Alpha or not, together with us, no need to think too much. Talk to Angie. Run Alpha. Because when you run Alpha, you are just simply being available to show hospitality, to invite, to welcome, to not to answer questions. You don't have to answer questions, okay? But just simply to show the love of God. And God will do the rest. And God will encounter people who come to Alpha. God is the one that will answer their questions. And even though they may not believe right away, but they have already begun a journey. Because Alpha is being together before we even bring the good news. Being, experiencing the good news. And then being explained the good news. So Alpha will be 3-in-1 all together. All right, and they will experience. So if you have not decided yet to sign up for the Alpha course, to bring guests or bring your cell group to also run a group at Alpha, at the end of this service, please see Angie at the bank and we will be able to sign you up and we will get you started. All right, praise be to God. So that's Alpha. But there are two more very simple points. Sometimes we come to the point, as Perlin just now, during COVID, you were ready to ask your friends, how can I believe in Jesus? You cannot wait for Alpha course already. You need to know then, because your heart is so ripe. So that's why I share with you what the gospel message is all about. The 4 points: God loves, we reject, Jesus died, paid the price, and trust in Jesus, we can get back into the love of God. Very simple, right? But if people are not ready, don't push it, all right? Step by step. But if they are ready, you are ready as well. Because you have already shared your life, now is the time to share the message. And then finally, share how they can put their faith in Christ. There's nothing magical about the sinner's prayer. In fact, for more than 1,800 years, there's no such thing as a sinner's prayer. People simply came to church, worship God, put their faith in Christ. But the sinner's prayer is a useful tool because through that prayer, we can thank God for loving us. We can say we are sorry for rejecting God. We can acknowledge that Christ paid for our sins. And most of all, we can say, I trust in you, Jesus. Bring me back into the love of the Father. I repent of my rejection. I want your blessings. I want to be loved by you. Sinner's prayer, very simple. And using the 4 points, you can also frame that into a prayer and just lead people to say, God, I want to be in your love. Very simple. So friends, today, I want to encourage you. Evangelism is not for specialists. Yeah, there are some specialists. D.T. Niles, is a specialist in evangelism. We call him evangelist. But the privilege to be blessed by the good news is yours and mine. Don't have to be a specialist. The call to be the good news, to live the good news in the midst of our friends and family, that's for everybody. And then each of us in our own ways, as you see on the screen, sharing about what God is doing in our life, sharing our own testimony, inviting them to Alpha course. You don't need to be a specialist. Any one of us can do it. So I want to close with this slide. We saw this verse earlier on. It says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I don't know about you. Do you love your feet? My wife loves my feet. She says I have nice feet. But you can't see, it's only for her to see. I want to invite you to stand with me. Let's all stand together. I want to invite you to stand. And as you stand nicely first. As you stand, I want you to look down. What do you see? What do you see? I see my shoes. I need a bit of kiwi. Hidden inside your shoes are your feet. Do you have beautiful feet? It doesn't matter how your feet look. Your feet may be straight, your toes may be straight, your toes may be crooked, it doesn't matter. Whether your feet are beautiful or not, depends on what you do with your feet. If these are the feet that come to church today, which you have all done so, to thank God for His blessings, to hear the good news, those are already beautiful feet. You already have beautiful feet. But as you leave this church today, as you go and have lunch or make appointment or tomorrow go to work, those feet bring you into the lives of other people, maybe who have not yet known Jesus, and you are living your life as good news. You're living your life as Jesus in the midst of the community, in the midst of your friends. Your feet are feet that bring good news. Beautiful feet. And then most of all, if those feet bring you to a place, because you have invested in those relationships, you have built a trust, and those feet bring you to the point where you share your story, where you share about Jesus, where you offer to pray for people, where you invite them to the Alpha course. Brothers and sisters, those are beautiful feet.
Right.
Will you turn to one another? Please turn to one another and say, hey, you got beautiful feet. You have beautiful feet. 你有很美丽的脚，你有很美丽的脚，因为你的脚是传福音的脚，传好消息的脚，你的脚就是最美丽的脚。So today I want to lead you in singing this response song. This is a song about our feet going to people. I want to invite you to raise your hands. I say, Lord, this is who I am. This is all I have. My feet, my legs, my story, my life. But my life has been changed because of you. This is my story. This is my song. Lord, I offer it to you. Use my life. My story is your story. Use my story to help others to hear your good news so that they will no longer live in the darkness, but they can experience the glory of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. They can be set free. They can be strong even in times of weakness because you are in them. So Lord, here I am. Lord, use my hands. And as you lift up your hands, think about the people in your life who are still in the kingdom of darkness. As you lift up your hands, offering yourself, pray to the Lord for them. And say, Lord, use my life. Use all that I have, so that my life can be a witness. My life can be good news to them. And name them before the Lord. Shall we do this together as a prayer?